This is Uprising. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. President Obama last night addressed the nation to make his case publicly for military action on Syria, invoking details of a scenario in which Syrian forces gassed over 1,000 Syrians to death and claiming that such a scenario was backed up by evidence of the regime evaluating the attack afterward. The president made the case that the U.S. had to act in order to send a message about the use of chemical weapons despite public reluctance to get involved in another war. Obama also stated that he had urged a postponement of the Senate vote on his resolution to authorize force in order to see how a Russia-brokered deal with Syria over its chemical arsenal might play out. Analysts see the delay as more of an indication of the lack of current congressional support for the bill. And finally, invoking the rhetoric of American exceptionalism, the president held up an image of the U.S.'s role as a global superpower, upholding the rule of international law and making the world a better place. Meanwhile, the intelligence, which ostensibly prompted a plan for military force, is still being questioned, despite White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough's proclamation in interviews that, quote, the entire world believes that President Assad used chemical weapons. In fact, an open letter sent to President Obama by a group of former intelligence analysts asserts that colleagues in the intelligence community have privately confirmed the flimsiness of the evidence. Apparently, an intercepted message within the Syrian government acknowledges the chemical attack, but expresses surprise at it. One of the signees of the letter is Ray McGovern, who served as a CIA analyst for 27 years. He conducted one-on-one morning briefings for President Reagan's most senior national security officials. McGovern says that if President Obama really wants to make his case for war, he should release the details of the evidence, much like Reagan did in justifying the U.S.'s 1986 bombing of Libya. Ray now joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, let's take a listen to President Obama's speech yesterday, where he brings up a scenario, describes a scenario that he is essentially saying is what really happened in the gas attack in Syria.
In the days leading up to August 21st, we know that Assad's chemical weapons personnel prepared for an attack near an area where they mix sarin gas. They distributed gas masks to their troops. Then they fired rockets from a regime-controlled area into 11 neighborhoods that the regime has been trying to wipe clear of opposition forces. Shortly after those rockets landed, the gas spread, and hospitals filled with the dying and the wounded. We know senior figures in Assad's military machine reviewed the results of the attack, and the regime increased their shelling of the same neighborhoods in the days that followed. We've also studied samples of blood and hair from people at the site that tested positive for sarin.
And that is President Obama speaking yesterday at the White House and addressing the public. Now, Ray McGovern, what do you make of this detailed scenario that he describes? How real is it, and what evidence is there that that is how it played out?
Well, Sonali, it could be very real. But I would suggest that after all that's happened, and I don't mean just over the last 12 years, I mean going back to the Gulf of Tonkin, when I was around and I saw that the president knew that the second incident did not happen and yet it ended up being used as justification for the whole war, I was around for Iraq. Granted, I was retired, but the evidence was abundant that we were being snuckered into another war. And we said so. We veteran intelligence professionals for sanity warned the president in 3 official memos before the attack on Iraq. So this time around, you know, it seems a little much, frankly, for the president to say, we know, or for John Kerry to say on the 30th of August, we know, how many times? 35 times.
Hmm.
Now, the assessment that he released, which, by the way, on the 30th of August, was not an intelligence assessment. It was a, quote, government assessment, end quote, the first time in my 50 years that I've run across this new genre. What does that mean? That means that the White House put this out very clearly. It's on the White House letterhead, so to speak, not intelligence letterhead. And it means that the White House had time to massage it, to edit it, to add to it, to make it appear as it wanted it to appear. Even so, some hardy soul insisted that embedded in that four-page assessment were the words that this lacks confirmation. Yeah, we have high confidence that we're doing right assessment, but this lacks confirmation. Now, am I prepared to believe what the president said last night? Yeah, I'm prepared. But, you know, I don't do faith-based intelligence.
Now, the letter that you signed with your colleagues in the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity group cites that there are sources that you have, that you know of in the intelligence community that are privately sharing information with you and others that calls into question this evidence. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, Sonali, that's a good question, of course. In addition to all the circumstantial evidence and all the reasons to doubt this based on history, there are some, well, how shall I call them, courageous souls willing to take the risk that they were unwilling to take 12 years ago. That's about sums it up. There are a lot of people with really guilty consciences who knew that the evidence before Iraq was not mistaken. It was fraudulent, okay? And Senator Rockefeller, the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, has said that publicly. Fraudulent. And, you know, many of them feel, gosh, you know, if I had spoken out, if I had broken ranks and gone to the, well, it wouldn't be the Post or the Times because they would have asked the president if they could publish it. If I had gone to KPFA with that information and with my bona fides as an insider, took that risk, you know, millions of people would not be in the situation they are today. So those same people are still around.
And so as far as you know, of course, you may not know the details of the evidence that's there, but we're hearing that all the evidence that the Obama administration might have and be using to justify this scenario is that there was clearly discussion of the attack in the Bashar al-Assad regime among its top circles, but acknowledgement that the incident happened and perhaps even some surprise that the incident happened, which may indicate that they may not have been the ones to carry out this attack, even if they have carried out other attacks in the past, and even if they, of course, do have a serious chemical weapons arsenal.
That's right. And in addition to all this, we're being asked by McDonough on Sunday, the chief of staff in the White House, you know, apply common sense here. Apply common sense. Well, all right, let's apply common sense. The UN inspectors had just arrived in Syria 2 days before this event. Now, what common sense does it make for Bashar al-Assad to perpetrate this incident when the UN inspectors are already there and ready to investigate it? Well, that's not common sense to me. You know, it's really very, very telling that the president and his minions will not release the evidence. They have ample precedent for doing this. You know, when I was still on active duty, so to speak, with the CIA, there was that terrible incident where there was a bombing in Berlin, a terrorist bombing at a discotheque. Two U.S. servicemen were killed, scores were injured, 230 people were injured, okay? Now, Ronald Reagan knew, because we told him, that there was an intercepted message encoded from Tripoli to Berlin and back, indicating beyond any doubt that the Libyans were responsible. That was the 5th of April, 1986. On the 15th of April, Ronald Reagan sent 90 planes to destroy the palace in Tripoli, and also Benghazi, by the way, killed Gaddafi's 15-month-old daughter, severely injured his youngest son, 3 years old, and the world was in high dudgeon. The world was, you know, saying, what are you doing? What's your proof that Libya did this? And Reagan came to us and he says, you know, we have to release that message. And of course we said, no, you can't do that. You'll be blowing our source. And he said, release it. We released the message. You know, I have to clarify here, I don't condone killing little kids because of a bombing of a disco in Berlin, but at least the president at that time, Reagan, had what we might call a decent respect for the opinions of mankind, okay? And he said, I owe this to the world. We did have the evidence. It was retaliation for a real event, so I'm going to release it. Now, did we blow the source? Yeah, we blew the source. Do we have no other sources? No comment on that.
Mm.
In this case, I can imagine the Syrians would be shocked, shocked out of their minds to realize, to hear, to know, to have confirmed that we eavesdrop on their conversations. Can you imagine what a shock that would be? I speak with great irony, of course,
given
all disclosures. So there's no reason in the world why Obama cannot follow this precedent set in 1986, and there's been other precedents, and it feeds suspicions, including in my mind, why don't they do it? And the only logical conclusion, if we want to apply, quote, common sense, end quote, again, is that the evidence is so flimsy that it cannot bear close scrutiny.
Now, Ray, the situation, of course, is quite fluid. And while the Senate was expected to vote today, by all measures and estimates last week, everybody thought that the Senate would vote, the House would vote, Obama would have his authority, and we'd be raining bombs by the end of the week. Well, that scenario has certainly changed significantly. It's possible that it has simply been postponed till President Obama either gets enough congressional support or decides to forego it and go through it anyway. And they're citing the Russia-brokered deal with Syria to have the United Nations, with the support of countries like France and Britain, to have a resolution that would put in place a commitment by Syria to have its chemical weapons under international control. And President Obama said this in his speech yesterday about that particular move.
The Assad regime has now admitted that it has these weapons and even said they joined the Chemical Weapons Convention, which prohibits their use. It's too early to tell whether this offer will succeed, and any agreement must verify that the Assad regime keeps its commitments. But this initiative has the potential to remove the threat of chemical weapons without the use of force, particularly because Russia is one of Assad's strongest allies. I have therefore asked the leaders of Congress to postpone a vote to authorize the use of force while we pursue this diplomatic path.
And Ray McGovern, what is happening right now has sparked a storm of speculation, both among lawmakers as well as ordinary Americans and in the media, about what exactly is going on here. Is it possible that President Obama realizes not only does he lack public and congressional support for this war, and so may actually not bomb? Or is it that John Kerry's faux pas on Monday, saying that if Assad were to turn over his arsenal, he could actually avoid the war, is now being turned into a trigger for war, because all we have to do is say, okay, we said Assad could turn over the weapons, and we say that our secret intelligence says, well, he hasn't turned over all the weapons, so now we're going to bomb. What do you think is really going on here?
Well, we've been spared a new war, and we should rejoice in that. I mean,
do you think it's a done deal?
It's a done deal that there's not going to be any attack on Syria for the next several weeks and probably several months.
Hmm.
What the Russians did was throw Obama a lifeline. He had no support internationally. Congress, even the Senate, was about to vote him down. And the Russians said, look, we can deliver the Syrians, okay? We can make this okay for you. You can even brag at having brandished your sword and having had an effect. Just let us do this. And Obama grabbed the lifeline despite all the neocons and all the people with very sad faces that I saw at CNN two nights ago, and he faced into it. So there's not going to be any attack on Syria. Dempsey and the other generals are breathing a huge sigh of relief because what they were asked to do cannot be done in a military sense, despite the urgings of the young folks in the White House and the tough guys and the tough gals. So we've been spared that, and we should be able to kind of say, all right, this was tough. 12 days ago, it looked like a done deal that there's going to be an attack. General Dempsey, and I have to say this for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he obviously intervened on that crucial Friday night. Why do I say that? Because when the president got up Saturday, and you can hear us demonstrating outside the White House in the background.
You were there?
You can hear us demonstrating outside in the background. What the president said was, look, I've talked to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he says that there's no urgency to this. We could do it today, or we could do it tomorrow, or next week, or next month. Now, that was something, because Dempsey, of course, has always counseled against this. And how do I know that that he was effective? Because of the vitriol that Lindsey Graham and Senator McCain spewed out when they visited the White House the next day, saying the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has counseled the president this way and that way. He's wrong, and we need to attack anyway. So the military spoke. They overrode the folks with, you know, still wet behind the ears in the White House, at the UN, and elsewhere. So that's the good news. And, is the Russians' role, is that a bad thing? No, it's a very good thing. You know, I know a little bit about Russian history. I used to know more about that than American history. They have a soft underbelly, okay? Syria is not Iraq. Since Catherine the Great in the 18th century, since Moscow extended its reach to its southern underbelly, they've been always very, very, very sensitive and tender there. And so if they're in the deal here, they have as much incentive to deprive people like Assad of his chemical weapons as anyone else does. Now, there is a danger that they play games here.
Right.
They could say, well, you know, while we're at it, we should ban all weapons of mass destruction from the Middle East. Ooh.
Israel.
Yeah, that's
Well,
we could put the kibosh on the whole thing.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. I hope you're right, Ray. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Ray McGovern, veteran CIA analyst who has briefed many presidents. By the way, he wrote an op-ed in the Miami Herald called "To Persuade Skeptics About Syria, Obama Should Follow Reagan's Example." We'll post that on uprisingradio.org later today. Ray McGovern is also co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And you can check out his website online at raymcgovern.com. That's raymcgovern.com.